Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother.
How's everybody this morning?
Everybody feeling good?
Are we awake? Everybody better be awake. I don't want to hear no snoring out there. If I start snoring, though, that don't mean y'all can leave. Y'all better wake me up. Something happened to me, right? Hey, did y'all enjoy the generosity series we had? We wrapped that up last week. We can all be a little bit more generous with what God's given us, can't we? Amen. And for the ones here and the ones watching at home today, your title today is, it might be a little long, might be a few extra words than normal, but your title for today's message is this: love one another so our faith triumphs over the world because of the sacrifice for redemption. Love one another so our faith triumphs over the world because of the sacrifice for redemption. Ooh, that's three things in one, ain't it? We like three in one, though, don't we? I'm pretty sure we got a three in one Trinity, right? So, ain't nothing wrong with having a three in one message, right? So, your first scripture today is going to come from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. John 15, 9 through 17. I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it says this. Put these on real fast. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love have none other than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit, what? That will last, not just wither on the vine, right? And so that whatever you ask in my name, in the name of the Father, will give you. Amen? This is my command. To what? Love each other. To love each other. Whew. That's the first part of the title, ain't it? Hey, guess what? Today we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about a few different varieties that we can get into. But most importantly, we're going to talk about that love that passes beyond all understanding. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes we just can't fully understand what God's love truly did for us. Amen? And I don't think we will until we get to heaven to be with Him. Because we still got that carnal part of us that is still like, I just can't understand. I can't imagine everything that He's done for us. All the love that He's given us. Amen? So today we're going to devolve. We're going to delve. I'll get that word right here in a minute. In the profound wisdom of the Gospel of John. Chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. These verses encapsulate the essence of the Christian love, don't they? Guiding us on our journey of understanding the depth and the breadth of love as taught by our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 9, Jesus says this, don't He? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Here, Jesus Himself reveals the divine source of love. The love that God the Father for His Son transcends human comprehension, don't it? Yet Jesus Himself extends His same boundless love to each one of us. It's a love that knows no boundaries, no bounds. It doesn't. A love that's steadfast. A love that's unwavering. Amen? But guess what, guys? The love of God don't stop there. Amen? Jesus don't stop there, does He? He commands us to remain in His love. Not just get there, amen, but to remain in it. And guys, that's not a passive suggestion for us, is it? But it's an active choice that we make to remain in Christ's love. It means to abide in Him continually, to walk continually in His ways, and to live not according to our will, not according to the God or Satan's will, the world's will, amen, but according to God's will, according to God's teachings and Jesus' teachings, amen. In verse 10, Jesus sets a condition, don't He? If you keep My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commands and remain in His love. Obedience. Everybody say obedience.
Obedience.
Everybody watching home, type obedience in the comments. Obedience is the key that unlocks the door for us to remain in Christ's love. It's not about legalism, is it? It's not about earned salvation, is it? But it's about demonstrating our love for Him through our actions, through our obedience. Amen? Verse 11 brings a promise, don't it? I've told you. This so, My joy. Everybody likes joy, right? So that My joy may be in you, and your joy, which is inside of our hearts when we get in Christ, right? Will be complete. When we can be happy. When no matter what's happening to us, we still see that joy in the morning. Amen? We're still happy. We're still abiding in it. Amen? When we abide in Christ's love, when we obey His commandments, we experience a profound joy that surpasses any of our understanding. It's a joy that fills our hearts. It's overwhelming. It's a joy that remains even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of tribulations. Amen? In verse 12 to 15, Jesus gives a new command, don't He? Love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. I would say that that would truly be the crux of Christian living. Wouldn't you? To love one another sacrificially. Sacrificially. I get that word out too. That's the way God did it, right? That's the way Jesus did it. Believe me, His death on the cross was totally sacrificial for each one of us. Amen? We got to live just like that. We got to live with that much love in our heart. Be sacrificial, just as Christ loved each one of us. His love knows no bounds, does it? It didn't then when He died on that cross and rose 3 days later. Guess what? It still has no bounds today. Amen. It's extending, even to laying down His life for His friends. And who are His friends? Who are God's friends? Who are Jesus' friends? Verse 14, Jesus says this, "You," everybody say "I."
I.
Everybody watching at home say "I." Or "me." I'll take a "me" too. "You are His friends." Well, I am His friends. Amen. What? Not without anything, right? But it says, "You are My friends if you do what I command." Amen. So if we're living and not doing what God's commanded us, we might be outside that little friendship mode, right? We might not be totally where we need because we're out of obedience to Him. Amen. Our friendship with Christ is not based on our status. It's not based upon our achievements. Amen. But it's on our obedience to His commands and His commandments. It's a relationship that's marked by intimacy and trust, isn't it? It's a relationship that transforms us from servants into His friends. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a friend of God today. Amen? A friend of Jesus. How about you? Amen? Those watching at home, are you glad to be a friend of Jesus? And finally, in verse 17, Jesus reiterates His commandment to love, don't He? "This is My command. Love who? Each other." Love each other. In other words, everybody. Everybody you come in contact with, guess what? God tells us to love them. Jesus tells us to love them because they are our friends. Amen? They are truly our friends. It's not a simple, or it is a simple, yet profound mandate that encapsulates our entire Christian faith. Love is not just a feeling. Love is not just an emotion, is it? But it's a conscious decision to act in the best interest of others, even at great personal cost to ourselves. Amen. As we reflect on these words today, let us ask ourselves, are we abiding in Christ's love? Are we obeying His commands? Are we loving one another as He has loved us? May the Holy Spirit empower each one of us to live out these truths in our daily lives so that the world may be able to see and know us as true disciples of Christ by our love that we show. Amen. And by that love of one another, our faith will triumph over the world. The second scripture comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. John 5, 1 through 6, NIV version again says this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is the love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus truly is the Son of God, right? This is the one who came by the water and the blood of Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, did He? But by water and by blood. And this is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. Amen. So to get a little bit more into these powerful words from the Apostle John that are in these first six verses of chapter 5 from 1 John. These verses resonate deeply with the essence of our faith, don't they? And the transformative power that holds on to each one of our lives. John begins by affirming a fundamental truth. Everybody that believes in Jesus Christ is what? Is the Christ has been born of God. Our faith in Jesus Christ is not merely a mental assent to a set of beliefs, is it? It's a spiritual rebirth. It's a transformation of our entire being, isn't it? Through faith, we're born anew, adopted to the family of God, given a new identity as children of the Most High. But John himself don't stop there, does he? He goes on to declare that our faith is not just a private matter for us, is it? It has profound implications in our relationships with others. He writes, and everyone who loves a father loves his child as well. Our love for God is inseparable from our love for each other. As a member of God's family, we're called to love and support one another, aren't we? To bear each other's burdens and to walk together in unity and in peace. John then presents us with a bold assertion, don't he? This is how we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know that each one of us loves the children of God. By loving God and carrying out His commandments. Our love for God is demonstrated not through empty words, are they? Not through mere sentimentality, but through our obedience to His commandment. Jesus himself said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. As followers of Christ, we're called to live lives that are pleasing to God. Amen. Not to ourselves, not to the world again, but to God. Lives characterized by righteousness, not unholy living, right? By holiness, and characterized by love. Amen. But John doesn't leave us without assurance, does he? He reminds us this. He reminds us that keeping God's commands is not a burden, but a joy. For his commands are not burdensome. When we walk in obedience to God, we experience true freedom, don't we? Freedom from guilt. Freedom from shame. The freedom from the bondage of sin that we live in. And the freedom to live abundantly in Christ. Amen. And finally, John points us to the ultimate source of our victory, which is our faith. He declares, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. In a world marked by trials, tribulations, and temptations, our faith in Jesus Christ is our sure foundation for how we're living. It is what enables us to persevere in the face of the adversities that we face, to stand firm in the midst of any storms that we might be going through, and to emerge victorious over any obstacles that stands in our way. Our faith does that, don't it? So let's take heart to hold fast in the faith that we've been entrusted to. Let us live, or let us love one another fervently, obeying God's commands and walking in his ways. Let us remember that in Christ we have the power to overcome the world. Amen. Nowhere else but in Christ do we have that power. Amen. And your last set of scripture is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 through 10. Hebrews 10, 4 through 10, still NIV. We're talking about that sacrifice for the redemption. And it says this: for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Though they were offered in accordance with the law at that time. Then he said, here am I, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets and abides, or he sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus once for all. Amen. That's the only way we can get redeemed. That's the only way we can truly love our neighbor like we should, is by having a true sacrifice on that cross, death, and burial, and resurrection. Amen. In Hebrews 10, 4 through 10, we're reminded again of the inadequacy of the sacrifice of the Old Testament, the insufficiency of the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. Instead, we're directed, aren't we, to the ultimate sacrifice, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, amen, whose body was prepared by God for the redemption of me and all humanity. The passage itself does highlight the divine will and purpose behind the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He came to the world not to perpetuate the rituals of sacrifice, amen, but to fulfill the sacrifice. As it is written, I have come to do your will, my God. Jesus is perfect. Or imperfect. Let me start that again. Jesus Himself, in perfect obedience to the Father, offered Himself as the atoning sacrifice for each one of our sins. Through His sacrifice, Jesus inaugurated a new covenant, didn't He? A covenant not based on the blood of animals, but on His own precious blood, amen? He set aside the old system to establish the new. A covenant of grace and redemption for all of us who simply believe in Him. This sacrifice of Jesus is unique and unparalleled, isn't it? It's not repeated year after year like the other sacrifices in the Old Testament were, is it? But it was offered once and for all. How many times? Once. One time for all. In His death on the cross, Jesus Himself accomplished what the blood of bulls and goats could never achieve. The forgiveness of sins and reconciliation of humanity with God. As believers, we're made holy through that sacrifice of Jesus, aren't we? Our sins are not merely covered, right? But they're completely removed. They're taken away, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. We're cleansed, aren't we? We're sanctified, aren't we? And we're made righteous, believe me, because we are so unrighteous and unworthy. But we're made righteous in the sight of God by the sacrifice of Jesus. Therefore, let us all hold fast to the hope that we profess, knowing that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Let us live lives worthy of the sacrifice that sets us free, offering ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. May we never forget the magnitude of Christ's sacrifice and the love that compelled Him to lay down His life for each one of us. And may we always, always, always give thanks for the grace and the mercy that flow from His wounded side. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son Jesus, who loved us with an everlasting love. Help us to abide in His love, to obey His commands, to love one another as He loved us. May Your love flow through us and shine brightly in the world filled with darkness right now. In Jesus' name, we want this, don't we? May God abundantly bless us to walk in His love. May the words of John sink deep in each one of our hearts and bear fruit in our lives today. As we come for this final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allowing Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the most important thing, Lord, that will get us to loving one another, Lord, and having the faith to change the world, Lord. And that most important thing was Your awesome Son and the sacrifice that He was willing to make, Lord, on that cross for each one of us. Lord, that there is no way that we would have of getting out of death, hell, and damnation, Lord, except for His unfailing love. Lord, we ask You just to impress upon each one of us, Lord. Lord, a newfound urgency for that want, need, and desire for that personal relationship with Jesus today, Lord. Lord, we ask You just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we'll be able to tell, like Your word said, Lord, that we're a little bit different. And let them ask, Lord. Let us be willing to share the true mercy, grace, and love that You've given each one of us, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for each and everything You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.